Welcome to Your Path to Nonprofit Leadership, the weekly podcast that empowers you with the latest strategies and insights to thrive in the nonprofit sector. I'm your host, Patton McDowell, and thrilled to have you join me for another enlightening conversation. Now, before we dive into today's episode, I want to share some exciting news. Our firm, PMA Nonprofit Leadership, is celebrating its 15th anniversary this week. And as part of that celebration, we're launching a brand new website. It's out. Check it out. It's at pmanonprofit.com. That is pmanonprofit.com. Additionally, keep your eyes and ears open for the upcoming 250th episode of this podcast. Yes, Your Path to Nonprofit Leadership will release its 250th episode next week. It's been an incredible journey, and I'm especially grateful to you for your support and continued listening. Now, what's been fun about the recognition of the podcast and the celebration for 250 is the episodes leading up to it have been fantastic, and this one is no exception. It's number 249, and you're going to learn more about the power of video storytelling as a nonprofit leader. And we've got the perfect person to talk about it. Her name is Diane Strand. She is a seasoned entrepreneur with a wonderful background in multiple disciplines, but she's also founded a nonprofit herself. And she shares valuable insights about harnessing the power of video to revolutionize your organization's narrative. Let's find out how storytelling, especially through video, can resonate with your donors, your patrons, as well as corporate sponsors, and help all of them better understand the power of your mission. Let's face it, I'm not doing enough video as a part of my firm. You're probably not doing enough video at your nonprofit. Diane is going to help all of us learn how to do it and learn how to do it better. Without further ado, please enjoy this conversation with Diane Strand. Diane, thank you for joining me on The Path.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here, Patton.
Well, you are the perfect person to talk to about a topic I think you and I both have discussions with other nonprofit leaders about, the importance of telling your story. But as I talk to nonprofit leaders, Diane, a lot of them, I think, acknowledge that, but sometimes struggle in actually implementing that goal of effectively telling their story. Why do you think that is? Why do you think many of our nonprofit leader friends struggle with that?
Well, I would probably say because it's a marketing thing, and we're, as nonprofit leaders, we're focused on our mission, which is helping our purpose to be able to thrive, not necessarily in sharing our story of why we're doing our purpose. I hope to be able to change that and teach people how to be better storytellers, because it really is in the message that we share about ourselves and our story that gets the attention on our mission.
Yeah, you're the perfect one to talk about this, because you're right. It's one of those other hats nonprofit leaders wear, right? And it may not be their primary hat. They haven't had experience, but you can help them. And that's why I'm excited about this episode, because you're going to give them advice that they can put to practical use. Before we do that, I guess, talk about the utilization of storytelling, and in particular video, talk about your journey. What led you to the work you're doing now?
Well, I always say that you can't connect the dots looking forward. You have to look back. And my first dot really shows up as early as second grade. I was a struggling reader. I was diagnosed with dyslexia in second grade, and those were big challenges for me. And I really wanted to be Betsy Ross in the school play. That was my first kind of introduction to being a part of theater and performing arts. And I was told by teachers and even my parents that maybe I shouldn't do that, because I didn't want to be embarrassed because I still hadn't really learned how to read yet.
Right.
And I wasn't going to let that stop me. I figured out a way to teach myself how to read. I have something called a photographic memory, which I didn't know what that was then, but it
Wow.
allowed me to really learn the part. And I went out for the audition and I became Betsy Ross in the second grade school play that was for the whole elementary school from first graders to sixth graders. And I was one of the youngest performers in the show and scored one of the lead roles. And that was because I truly believe it's the arts that made a whole different for me. And that shows up at different spots in my life as we, continue to connect those dots. In high school, I still didn't like school much better in high school. It
Right,
was still a
right.
challenge, but it kept me connected because I wanted to be in the school play, or I wanted to be a part of what the production was, but I had to have the grades so I would be able to be in the play. I kept me staying in school, not ditching school, because you couldn't do those things if that was what you were doing on the other side. And so it was the arts that kept me grounded. And that happened again in college, where when I wanted to pursue further and really started to see my career in front of me, I knew I needed education, so I had to go back to school. So it was the arts that got me back into school to finish my degree. And I've really never looked back from there. I had a professional career in the entertainment industry on shows like Friends and General Hospital and building the high def control room at Staples Center. And then becoming an entrepreneur. My why at that time was my family. I wanted to be a better mom, and working 15, 16 hours a day in the entertainment industry wasn't the answer. So my husband and I set out to be entrepreneurs. And at that time, our mission was to really help businesses tell their story better,
Right,
and how
right.
that then kind of evolved into our story really being about making dreams come true. And that's how we developed the nonprofit, is we wanted to provide pathways for creatives to be able to live their passion and their purpose and have a career that, dreams were made of. And that's how we started launching careers into the entertainment industry. And, my philosophy as an entrepreneur is show up and say yes. And I was at a chamber event. A woman came up to me and was kind of selling me. And, I really didn't think that there was any way that I was interested in what she was selling at the time, which was to work with an individual who had special needs and provide an opportunity for them at the studio. I had no employees. I didn't know what that would look like. She convinced me that it wouldn't cost me anything and how I would be helping this individual. And so my philosophy is say yes. I said yes. And within 5 months of seeing this individual who was fantastic, had a love for audio, I started designing a program. So not only could we teach him, we could teach the masses of those that had special needs how to do video production and multimedia. And that became our story of our nonprofit as it evolved and shift. Our mission is still the arts, but it has so much bigger purpose now.
It's fantastic. First of all, thank you for sharing your story, and kudos to you for showing a path, frankly, for those that have challenges, as you overcame so beautifully. And now it has led to an even greater mission and purpose. I can tell from your passion and learning more about JDS Creative Academy. And of course, I know you blend both entrepreneurial skills and experience with nonprofit skills and experience, but talk about JDS Creative Academy. What now is your main focus, and how do you help those that perhaps have otherwise not given been given opportunities?
Well, our focus at JDS Creative Academy is the mission to provide arts for all, and that's mainstream through special needs. We do and we teach. So we come from a philosophy of hands-on training, and that's really how we have focused our program. We cross-collaborate here. We have classes that have mainstream and special needs in them. We have classes that just have special needs to be able to learn and focus on a career pathway. And that really is our purpose and what we do with our video production multimedia day program. It's to provide that pathway of the hands-on training, building the skill on the technical side, as well as the soft skills that need to go along with that. And then finding an opportunity for them to do an internship that would be paid. And that's, our purpose here at the nonprofit is so everyone can really experience the joy that the art gives them, whatever medium you're focused in. And then we turn that around to provide arts to the community. So everything that we do, whether that's in a learning environment or in the professional environment, is to share our message, which really promotes diversity, equity, and inclusion because arts are for all. And it really does level the playing field and create opportunity because every business in some way touches the art. Because if you're not telling your story, you're not succeeding in business.
Yeah, so well put, and a perfect segue to discussion around that, because I know listeners right now are thinking, Diane, I hear you. I need to tell my story better, and you're going to help me expand it into new audiences. I guess for you, Diane, if you focused again there in your community, what has been the geographic range of your programs now, and do you see them expanding further?
Absolutely. I mean, we're located in Temecula, California, which is Southwest Riverside County, Southern California. We're nestled between LA and San Diego. So, our immediate population, of course, if you're coming to find us in person, maybe spreads about 50 miles in a radius around us to come take a class here. But we also are able to reach so much more through our distribution outlets. Our TV show, Spirit of Innovation, Arts Across America, spreads the message across America about how important the arts are, how it makes a difference. It shows the opportunities that we're providing through that TV show, which is a mainstream TV show that is broadcast not only locally on local stations and county stations, we're on binge networks. So we reach the whole United States, as well as through YouTube and different streaming methods. So we're able to take our message and share that across America. As well as we have another TV show, which is called SOI Stories, which is all about the participants and the stories they want to tell. And with them telling those stories through the things that they're learning here, whether that be writing skills, editing skills, reporting skills, camera skills, they are being able to put all that together in a show that then shows them as professionals out there in the world that can do everything that everybody else can, with maybe a small accommodation. And other than that, they're right on the same playing field as the rest of us. We have a radio show, we do events, we have a podcast ourselves. So that is
Nice.
how we involve the community as well as show the community how the arts has really affected our population, help them grow, and help them succeed.
Yeah, I know listeners are eager to see, and I, of course, I will tell them that the show notes are going to give opportunities both for them to look at your programming and understand it in more detail and see the power of your storytelling, Diane. And how it might apply to anyone that's trying to better amplify their message. Let's jump into that again, as the expert in storytelling in particular. Would you tell someone listening now that video is the place to start, or is it an amplification? I guess, most websites are the basis of a nonprofit leader's communication. But if someone comes to you and says, "All right, Diane, I need to get my message out," would you start with video?
Well, I would absolutely start with social media is where, a great place to start sharing your story. It's a great practice ground as well. Social media is a hit. You can put it out there and in 10 minutes, something else is new coming along. So it's a great way to practice. The more you do it, the better you will get at it. And that's where you have to start in sharing your story. It's one of those things we have the media in our pocket now, so you should definitely take advantage of that. Share your story, get your message out there, and then be able to put, a video together that can tell your message in another way. You got to share your message in several different formats. You know, we can start with just talking, which would be like going live on social media. You can tell a story, put some pictures together, put some voiceover with it, have somebody stand up and give a testimonial. Those are very powerful pieces of media, and that's what we really want to do, is to be seen. And the more that we're able to be seen, the more we're able to share our message. And I truly believe, especially as a nonprofit leader or someone who is trying to be able to market their business, is you need to be seen, you need to share your message, and sometimes you have to make your mess your message. That's okay too.
It shows the humanity, right, behind an organization. And that can be endearing, can't it? I guess it shows an authenticity that people will follow.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I always say done is better than perfect. And, you know, we practice to be prepared, not to be perfect. You know, that practice makes perfection. No, you know, be prepared. And that's what I tell people, because you have to share your message, and you share it in so many different ways, whether you're putting it out on social media, you're sharing it in a newsletter, you're putting that out there in an interview that you're doing. I highly recommend doing podcasts like this. This is the best way to get your story out there. And you get stronger, you get better at it the more that you do it. And that's why, you know, people listen, because they are out there looking for this information, looking for these stories, because we all want to be a part of something that is making a difference.
Yeah, well put. And it sounds like you have done an excellent job of, one, being responsive to opportunities to share a story. So, in other words, at any moment, you got your phone in your pocket. If you see something that might be worth sharing, you capture it either by video or audio. But do you talk about the tactical planning you do, Diane? Do you kind of look at 1 month at a time, 1 year at a time in terms of, all right, I see opportunities for stories to be told. I'm just curious about the tactical side for a listener now thinking, all right, how do I organize the messaging you're describing?
I definitely think you have to have some planning to it. You know, it shouldn't be so random that your story is not cohesive, because you have to remember, especially in the social media world, people are hitting your feed and they're looking for some sort of continuity to come through. So you have to have a little bit of forethought with that. But as you start to work more in this storytelling, in this message delivering, being seen and putting yourself out there, you get stronger in how you share your message. You know, it starts to roll off your tongue a little bit easier as you come up with an acronym or you come up with a tagline. And then you always want to attach it to a why. What does that mean? And why is that important? And when you can bring that full circle, you're going to be able to bring your community into your circle as well.
Yeah, well put again. And I figured you would encourage that kind of cohesive nature of, yes, we can have reactionary storytelling, but I guess you want it to follow an arc, right, that is consistent with your overall story and your message. And have you found a sweet spot in terms of frequency, or does that just simply vary by organization? But if somebody said, again, how often do I need to post? What would you say?
I don't know that it's how often. My advice is consistency. So if you are posting 3 times a week, post 3 times a week at the same time, because your audience is going to know when to go back to find new content. You know, you don't want to overdo it if it's not of your nature, to where thinking that you have to post something every day or 2 or 3 times a day.
Right.
You know, everybody's sweet spot is going to be a little different. You have to think about, they call it, who is your avatar? That is, who is your customer? Who are you trying to target and reach? So that is going to help you figure out the right time to be posting things out there. When is your audience on social media? When are they looking for those kinds of things? Sometimes you have to do a little bit of trying to figure out who your avatar is, and that's really talking to your current customers and clients, whether they're your community members, if that's who you're trying to talk to, your own audience inside your organization, when are they on social media? But consistency is more important than 15 times a day. If
Gotcha.
you're it's more important just to be consistent that when you're putting something out, someone knows, oh, I'm going to go tune into JDS Creative Academy because they had a new show come out today. And they'll come back to look for it instead of looking every day, going, oh, they got nothing for me, you know?
I guess you could always accelerate, right? So set a pace, you're saying that you can consistently maintain, and then as you get more proficient, I suppose you could add more, right? But just make sure you
Absolutely.
maintain. And well, speaking of avatars, Diane, you know, every listener now in the nonprofit leadership space, fundraising is on their mind. And avatars I know we're trying to reach are, I guess, from the individual philanthropist or donor to my corporate sponsors. I wonder, do you design some of your messaging and marketing and even videos with those kind of specific donors in mind?
Absolutely. You have to target, we serve a lot of people. I have a lot of different avatars, so to speak, in the nonprofit, whether that be the creative who's looking for training, whether that be somebody with special needs who's looking for hands-on training with a pathway, or somebody is looking just to take a quick class to brush up on something, build some of that creative enrichment. So we put a different video together for each of those avatars because if you're trying to say everything, you're going to lose people. They always say, oh,
Yes,
throw in the
yes.
kitchen sink. But that just becomes a garbage disposal. So
Right.
you just really have to, you have to speak to your individual avatar in that message. You're going to pick up the fray from the outside that will come in, and then they'll be able to go find the video that is speaking directly to them.
Yeah, good. Again, practical advice that I'm delighted to hear. I guess another practical question I'd ask you is in terms of video length, you produce full length program and shows, but in terms of bite-sized social media friendly video, what do you advise there? Is it 30 seconds, 60 seconds, 90 seconds, or is there no one answer?
I would stay between about 50 seconds and 90 seconds. Most of your social media is getting a little bit longer. It used to be it has to be within a minute
Right, right.
for it to play through on Instagram. But now you can stretch it to about 90 seconds on Instagram. TikTok, you can definitely get up to closer to 5 to 10 minutes. So again, it's going to really depend on what platform. Just like you want to speak to your avatar, you want to make sure you're putting content on the platform that applies best.
Yeah, yep.
So you gotta, you gotta pick and choose, and prepare things in a couple different ways. But I still say just getting something out there is better than nothing at all.
And do I hear you say that maybe I don't need to be on every single platform? I worry sometimes, Diane, my colleagues in the space are trying to be everywhere and then they frankly don't do any of it well. What would you say to that?
Pick one and do that well, then grow from there.
Yeah.
I know that my audience is either on Facebook or LinkedIn for the most part is my
Right.
audience. It doesn't mean I don't do Instagram. I don't, I do TikTok. We have a Twitter. All of those things exist, but I know if I'm going to convert somebody into a customer, however that customer may be, whether that's a corporate sponsor, that's a foundation, that's a new participant for my job training program, or just a young 9-year-old who just wants to be an actor or just wants to be in a play. I'm going to focus on those platforms because LinkedIn is bringing me my business community, as well as my professional moms and dads that are looking for the services that we offer, as well as Facebook. I deal a lot, most of my clients have very close parents that are attached to them because either they're a youth or a teen, or they're somebody with special needs who has a very tight family unit. So that's where my true target audience is. But that doesn't mean that I don't put a couple of things out there on Instagram and I'm always consistently posting because, I need the younger crowd to go, "Hey, mom, look at this." And then the mom goes to Facebook to find me.
You've crossed that question perfectly. I was going to ask you about the intergenerational kind of dynamics, but I guess that's to your point, right? If I'm thoughtful about the audiences I'm trying to reach, that might influence the platform on which I'm going to share, right? And that's
Absolutely.
perfect. Right. Talk about the entrepreneurial skill and experience you bring to your nonprofit side. What has that taught you, or what does that mean for you as a nonprofit leader to have those entrepreneurial, in essence, for-profit skills as well?
Well, we run our nonprofit like a for-profit, except at the end of the day, the profits go to the benefit of
Indeed.
our members of our organization. We're not a member-driven organization, but I'm able to reinvest in our students, whether that be making a donation, buying new equipment. But I run it just like that business mind, with the idea that, we should be running, in the black, not in the red. I hope at the end of the day, the organization continues forever, and it never comes to that. But if it was to ever shut down, whatever's left over, we already have it in our bylaws of where that is to be donated, which is now to special needs and those pursuing a career in the arts.
Nice.
And that is, where it goes. And I hope that there is a profit, that if this ever ends, that organizations can benefit from the work that we've done. And I do believe you have to think that way because, I'm here to show, especially in my nonprofit, we're here creating creatives to go out and work in the industry. So we're trying to show them how that space works in the professional for-profit world. They learn those professional skills that come about it through working here at the organization, so they can see how a real business is run. And I think that businesses out there need to add a little bit more creativity to their business so they can market and communicate, and as well as be able to be a little bit more diverse and inclusive.
Yeah, great point. And I'm glad you make the point that it goes both ways, right? The for-profit, nonprofit blend is something you have maximized in a wonderful way. In fact, what you just alluded to, the collaboration in your community, I wonder how have you approached that strategically? I guess both within the arts and with maybe other organizations serving those with disabilities, but talk about community collaboration and how you've approached that.
Well, we would be nothing if it wasn't for our community. We rely on our community to hold us up, share about us, talk about us, be able to go out into their respective businesses and be able to point things back to how we have helped them or what they've learned, because that's what our TV shows are about. That's what our performances are about. It really is a yin and a yang that goes with that. It's allowed us, one of our biggest supporters is our city. The city of Temecula is one of our biggest sponsors, whether
Nice.
that's for our event, for our TV show, just in supporting us by sharing our message, our chamber. It's all about community. You have to be engaged in your community if you want to be able to, benefit each other. We promote our community and our community gives back to us, whether that's in funding, volunteer hours, attending our events, showing up for us. We show up for them, they show up for us. And it really is a cross collaboration that has to happen, especially in the nonprofit space, because you're nothing without the community being underneath you and supporting you.
Dan, I can't help but ask the question how you stay organized. What you've described to me is about four full-time jobs, and you're doing all of them well. I trust you sleep eventually, but seriously, I guess as a nonprofit leader listening who has a lot on their plate, are there things you found to help you stay organized and not, let things fall through the cracks, frankly?
Well, I definitely could add my title to be a workaholic. There's no doubt about that. But, I really truly believe it's because I'm working in my passion, and it gives me purpose. That's how I, juggle from one thing to the next, because I was working as hard, probably even less hard when I was in the entertainment industry, and I wanted to
Exactly.
run from that. So,
Right.
where now, I can just go another hour, another 2 hours. I'll go to midnight, 1 o'clock, because it really is my passion. So I truly believe that if you have a career of passion, you are doing something with purpose. It really does make a difference. Sure, are there tough days? Are there days that, I want to, scream at the top of my lungs or cry in my pillow, and why did this have to happen? But I would not trade my worst day as a nonprofit leader or entrepreneur for my best day in the entertainment industry, because if I'm not winning, I'm learning, I'm growing, I am able to help somebody else who's going to come behind me and hit that same challenge. And that's really been my philosophy, is if I hit a pothole, how do I fill that pothole so somebody behind me doesn't hit the same one? And I squirrel from one thing to the next. I'm a multitasker. I love what I do. I have a staff. I'm not here alone. I do have a
Sure.
staff that helps, and I delegate well. So, that helps. It's growth. Was, when we first went from being a mom and pop entrepreneur to then having a nonprofit, and now I had a board, still no employees. It was, very different to be able to grow it. We had real growing pains. There's no doubt, going from 2 people to 16 people, it's a lot to juggle, and people quit on you and they walk away, and you have to then just pick yourself up and, pull up those big girl panties and keep going.
Wonderfully put. A fitting, as we move to the closing of this discussion, you have provided everything I hoped for and more in terms of how nonprofit leaders can both balance all that they're doing, but of course, the passion you share is so evident. I guess I, after all the wonderful takeaways, Diane, any final advice or action steps, maybe, or next steps for someone listening that wants to kind of follow on the path you're on in terms of nonprofit leadership?
Well, my big keys are always to show up and say yes. Be able to live your passion, and your purpose will come through. I believe in mentorship. I have mentors out there. They definitely help keep, the inner monologue to a low murmur, so you can stay focused and stay on point. Those are some of the big things, and share your story, because the more you talk about your why and what you're doing, you will bring others along with you who want to help you with what it is that you're doing. And that's what makes the collaboration even more beautiful, because you can do more with that.
Thanks for the inspiration once again, Diane. Speaking of inspiration, you've written a wonderful book that I have not asked you about yet. Tell our listeners about the book you wrote and what its purpose is.
Well, the book is called Show Business: Breaking into the Industry as an Actor. And it really is a step-by-step for anybody out there who wants to launch into the entertainment industry as an actor. There's acting tips. I wrote it with my partner in life and business. So it's both by Scott and myself, Diane and Scott Strand. He does the craft and teaches you some of the tools on the craft. I'm the business. He's the show. I'm the business. And the steps that you need on your pictures, your resume, is the right steps. It became a bestseller. It came out in 22. We've launched over 100 actors. And I really put it forth, even with our nonprofit, to be able to show that there is a pathway, there is a step. People would come out and say, well, what am I supposed to do next? We help. I have another book that will be launching later this year. It's called The Creativepreneur because I am a true believer that either you are a creative looking to launch or you're a business who needs more creativity.
Well put. Well, we're going to lift both of those up in the show notes. I guess a related and final question is, was there a book meaningful to you on your journey? Now that you're producing books that are helping others, I wonder, was there something that helped you earlier in your career?
Well, I would have to say currently, I just finished reading the book. It's called Be Seen by
Okay.
Jen Gottlieb. And her book came out October of last year. She is one of my mentors. I've been working with her for several years, as a coach and a mentor. And then she wrote this book, which is all about how to be seen, which is, as nonprofit leaders, we tend to always put ourselves in the back. And but if you want to get your message out and share your story, you have to be seen. You have to show up on wonderful podcasts like yours. You have to be able to share your story to be able to get other people to jump on your bandwagon and put it out there. So the best way to do that is to be seen. So her book really made a difference for me.
Fantastic. Yet another great resource, Diane, you share with our listeners. This has been wonderful. And again, I hope those that are listening, in current or aspiring nonprofit leaders, they'll take advantage of your advice and continue to do what you're doing. So, for all of this, thank you for joining me on the path.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Diane as much as I did and came away with both inspiration and information to help you better utilize video as a storytelling means. Now, for more information about Diane and the great work she's doing, don't forget about the show notes. This is episode number 249. And there you can find out more about Diane and her work, as well as other resources we discussed. Now remember, all of this is on the podcast page at our new website, pmanonprofit.com. You'll find more information about Diane, her work, and all of the resources provided through our various podcast episodes. Of course, if you found this episode insightful, and I hope you did, please share it with somebody else on the nonprofit leadership path. They can benefit from her wisdom as well as staying in touch with this episode by subscribing. Remember to do that. All you've got to do is go to the podcast page, click on the follow button, and you won't miss out on any of these weekly episodes, especially as we approach number 250. Thanks again for all you're doing in the nonprofit sector right now, especially for causes that are most meaningful to you. I'll keep bringing you content to help you do it even better. Have a great week. I'll see you next time on The Path.